All right, so last week we watched Dusty's Trail, that was the unknown to us early 1970s reboot of Gilligan's Island, but set in the Old West. That, yeah, I don't know, I'd never heard of, you'd never heard of. Not the worst thing in the world, but it was just Gilligan in a different venue. And then as I was like researching that, it was this whole thing about how Sherwood Schwartz was trying to get Gilligan's Island rebooted, because it definitely had been canceled sooner than it should have been, because it was a popular show and he didn't see any reason why they couldn't make more Gilligan. And then that ended up turning into Dusty's Trail. But then alongside it, there was this animated series. So I thought, like, oh yeah, let's check that out, just because, we were just talking about Gilligan last week, just in this Gilligan mode. This is now or never. If I'm ever going to watch the Gilligan's Island cartoon, now's the time. But I don't expect great things from it, because 1970s era cartoons, I mean, that's not the greatest, Like, if you go back farther, you get Max Fleischer Superman cartoons, and you get, Merrie Melodies and stuff, like cartoons. Well, I guess because those were all theatrical cartoons, but once you get to this sort of TV cartoon era, pretty rough. Not great. But I think you said you saw maybe little bits of this Gilligan cartoon before.
That Gilligan, yeah, I vaguely remember little bits of it, but and it's that usual animation, that flat two-dimensional look that was very, very popular. Cheap. It had a cheap look about it for 1970s type cartoons. They took away that wonderful animation that you saw in things like Bugs Bunny and from the 40s and the 50s and even the Walt Disney Cinderellas and those kind of things, which had almost a three-dimensional look to the animation. But these are real, Scooby-Doo and all those guys, they all had it. It was just flat. It looked like actually looking at a very basic weekend cartoon in a newspaper that you'd be looking at the comics. And I don't really remember anything remarkable about it. I didn't watch it a lot because, hey, why would I? The real Gilligan, I had seen that, and that was wonderful. So, I'm expecting the plot lines to be very, very much like the TV show, but the animation and all that is probably pretty weak.
Now that you mentioned that about newspaper strips, yeah, the style, the visual style, kind of reminds me of Blondie and Dagwood. I don't know, they just kind of have that weird look, the way their eyes look and stuff. But yeah, one thing, I do have some notes about this, but this is one thing I didn't write down, but I did read that the company who made this, Filmation, one thing about this, it's called The New Adventures of Gilligan, is most cartoons, they were outsourced, to other countries to animate more cheaply. So it was kind of a point of pride on this Gilligan show that they did this entirely within the United States. But the critics said, like, you shouldn't have bothered because it still looks like crap. Like, the fact that it was made in America just made it more expensive, but it doesn't look better, supposedly. But yeah, I do have some a quick rundown. So let me give you the facts of The New Adventures of Gilligan. It's an American Saturday morning animated series aired on ABC during the 1974-1975 season with 24 episodes. Most of the original cast reprised their roles and provided their voices for the animated series, with the exception of Tina Louise and Don Wells. Louise wanted to distance herself from the role of Ginger, and consequently, the animated Ginger was changed from a redhead to a platinum blonde in case Louise objected to the use of her image. So it's still a character named Ginger, but essentially everything else is different. And Wells was on the road doing a play and was unavailable. The overall storyline of the animated series was basically the same as the original live-action show. The one change was the introduction of Snubby, an anthropomorphic monkey who is befriended by Gilligan. It's just like, and when I read that, I was very unsurprised. Scrappy Doo and Mr. Magoo. You always gotta have, not Mr. Magoo, the Great Gazoo. That guy, remember that? That little green alien that
Yeah.
only Fred Flintstone could see? They always gotta add something, some weird little dumb thing for extremely small children. Creator Sherwood Schwartz initially rejected the idea of an animated series because he was trying to sell a live-action Gilligan revival TV series, but then that became Dusty's Trail. So he then agreed to the animated series. And as with many cartoons of the era, the show features a laugh track. That's definitely weird because, I was born in 79, so I missed all of these 70s Saturday morning cartoons. I had the 1980s ones, and we've watched a bunch of those. You know, those are, they're also pretty poor in their own way, because that was, you know, Transformers, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Gem. You know, it's just there to sell toys. But at least they didn't have laugh tracks, you know? Like, I still feel like the 80s has... The 80s and the 70s both had bad cartoons, but the 80s cartoons at least didn't have a laugh track. So anyway, I've got episode... let's see. I grabbed episode 13. It's called A Sinking Feeling, just because I was like, is there any consensus about this show? Does anybody even care to rank which episodes are the best episodes? And I did find some reference saying that this one was probably the best of them. You know, it didn't seem extremely enthusiastic, but it's like, good enough. Just give me anything, any reason to watch any one of these in particular, and I'll take it. So as for where to watch these, unfortunately, they're not on YouTube. I think they want you to sign up to, you know, the whatever, whoever owns this these days, the Warner Archives or whatever is where you're supposed to sign up to watch them. Oh, I did find some episodes on archive.org. You know, you could always try that, I suppose.
I think this show is well named, A Sinking Feeling. I haven't even watched it yet, and I'm getting a sinking feeling.
Yeah, I believe in this case it's, you know, quicksand on the island or whatever. But yeah, maybe it will turn out to be a double meaning. And they also didn't want to spend money on the classic Gilligan theme song. So supposedly this is just some weird spoken word poem that the cast reads. So yeah, I have a feeling this might not be a great entry in the classic Gilligan theme song pantheon either. But let's see. I guess one way to find out.
Okay, before I sink any further.
Now listen to this story that we will tell to you.
The story of the minnow, 5 passengers and crew.
With Gilligan aboard the ship, the skipper by his side.
An unexpected storm came up and tossed them with the tide.
They found themselves a shipwrecked clan lost on Gilligan's Isle.
Gilligan and Skipper, the millionaire, his wife.
The movie star Professor and Marianne began a brand new life.
What creatures they encountered? What riddles did they face?
What mysteries did haunt them in a strange but happy place?
On the new adventures of Gilligan, Gilligan,
all on Gilligan's Island.
Well, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. The animation was actually better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, all-American style is not so bad. Because, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of, I don't know what era it was from. Maybe it was the 60s, but the Mary Marvel Marching Society is what I always think of as, like, the low watermark. Like, there's no animation worse than that. And, yeah, this seemed fine. This was on the level of, like, Flintstones and Scooby-Doo and stuff. It seemed fine. Not bad.
And this story itself was very reminiscent of what the actual storyline in the TV series was. It was exactly like it, except Gilligan came across as kind of bland. Like, usually he's the foil. He's the one who makes the stupid, idiotic mistakes. Well, he didn't make the mistakes in this one. He was just deceived. And of all the voices are all very much like the TV show. Even the replacement Ginger of Gilligan.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I don't really have any theories about why, but yeah, some people seem to convert into cartoons really well, particularly the Howls. The Howls just, they belong in a cartoon. They feel perfect. It makes me think, like, if they had ever made a Beverly Hillbillies cartoon, like Mr. Drysdale would fit right in a cartoon. And yeah, it's weird that Gilligan, who is arguably the most cartoonish character in the show, doesn't really fit in a cartoon. Instead, they got to prop him up with a weird little monkey and all this weird stuff.
Yeah, the monkey seems to be more Gilligan-esque than Gilligan. You know, little things like that bumblebee. He's trying to kill the bumblebee, and flowers are, you know, he can't. And then with the coconuts, all come falling down on his head. And those are Gilligan tricks. But Gilligan didn't do any of those things in this. In fact, Gilligan didn't do anything stupid at all in this show. He just followed Mr. Howell's lead and actually was very smart in doing things like removing those lead boulders from the pit getting them into the thing. He was quite intelligent in this one. It just didn't fit his role of being, you know, always the cause of whatever happens that they can't get off that island.
Yeah, that is weird. And yeah, that's the weird thing too. A lot of times we watch these shows and we notice these things, but you can come up with a reason or a theory. But yeah, I don't have much on this one of just like, yeah, I don't know why it is this way. It doesn't seem, I mean, it seems kind of logical to put little, you know, cartoon animals in a Saturday morning cartoon show for kids, I guess. But yeah, to have them usurp the whole point of the show and the star that it's named after, very strange choice. I don't know what that's all about. It definitely reminded me of the Flintstones too, of just, you know, they're using the animals as construction devices, you know, like the animals are like their vehicles. And they even, that car made out of hay that they had at the start, they didn't technically do the Flintstones, you know, you're just running along the ground to make your car move, but almost. They had some kind of a little pedal
system.
It was like a little pedal car, like a kid would have.
Yeah, so really, really similar to the Flintstones. And I was a little worried too when I read that description of the monkey being anthropomorphic, because I was like, I know that means, you know, that it's more of a person than an animal, but I wasn't sure if that meant it could speak. And I was glad to at least see it didn't speak English. That'd be way too cartoony and weird. So yeah, I don't know. It is basically just Gilligan's Island, just not as good.
And it was, but it was okay adding the animal culture, because especially since Gilligan is such a simple, he's a simple basic soul, and you can see him connecting up with some animal life. So to have a little pet, yeah, that fits his character. But the pet was actually more of a star of the show than what Gilligan was. Actually, the star of this show was Mr. Howell, of this episode. It was definitely Mr. Howell.
Yeah, I wonder if there is a reason why this episode stood out a little bit more than the other ones. If I had to guess, that is probably why. Because, yeah, Mr. Howell's just awesome. I mean, he's just so good.
As you said, it's great that they had him take on this role in the cartoon, because I really can't imagine anybody else being Mr. Howell. His voice is so distinctive. And Mrs. Howell's, too. That kind of snotty upper class, you know, she does a beautiful job of that. It might have been able to get somebody to replace her that would have been as effective. But Mr. Howe, I really can't see them finding anybody for him. And I got to say, the Ginger character, she comes across as really good. She's much better than the Ginger in the Old West series. You know, she's one of these with that breathy voice, and she's exuding sex all the time, constantly. Which is what the original Ginger does. Whereas that girl who replaced, who did the Ginger role in the Wild West, she only occasionally put on that act.
Yeah, and I just went to look up the name of the lady who did the Ginger voice, Jane Webb, because, yeah, apparently she's been in something like 8 million cartoons. Like, she's a super famous cartoon actress. She's been in tons of stuff. So, yeah, we'll give her flowers. Did a fine job, Jane Webb. So then to follow this up, not right away, actually probably not for like 10 years or so, I think it was in the 80s, but they did do a follow-up series called Gilligan's Planet. And I couldn't find any episodes of this, but I didn't look that hard because, you know, I was like, that's fine. I did find, though, just the opening. This is just the opening to Gilligan's Planet, just to give us the new little theme, spoken word poem song, and This is the final fate of what happened to these Gilligan characters.
We've got a brand new story about the castaways.
We left our tiny island after years and months and days.
We built a little spaceship. It's crude, but it could fly.
We left home and lost our way between the stars and sky.
We went from an island to a star, lost on Gilligan's Planet.
Gilligan and Skipper, the millionaire, his wife.
The professor, the movie star, and Mary Ann began a brand new life.
What creatures we encounter. What riddles do we face?
What mysteries now haunt us in a strange, enchanting place?
Our adventures are the best by far.
here on Gilligan's Star Planet.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I figured that's fine. Yeah, we don't need to watch a real episode of that, and I couldn't find one even if we wanted to. But surely that's it, right? Because we've been going down this rabbit hole of like, oh, I didn't realize Dusty's Trail was a show, and oh yeah, there's that Gilligan cartoon, and then it turns out, oh, there's a second Gilligan cartoon that's in outer space. But surely this is the end of it, right? Like, there is a Nintendo game that I remember I played as a kid, and you know, it's like not a very good game, not very well remembered. Probably one of those cases where, you know, Gilligan's Island was very out of date at that point. But I think they did stuff like that so that if a parent saw the game, they'd go like, oh, I know Gilligan's Island, I'll get that for my kid. And then it's a kind of a crappy game. But I just remember I did rent it, and you run around the island. You, if I remember right, you do build a boat or something, and Gilligan messes it up. I think I could be wrong, but my memory is that you get like a genie wish or something. It's really out there. And then Gilligan wishes for, you know, a Sunday or something. And they, you know, Gilligan. But anyway, that's got to be the end of the Gilligan Trail. It just has to be. There's no way that there's more hidden Gilligan stuff.
Now, we did watch, didn't we? But I saw it. Return to Gilligan's Island. Did you see that?
No, I know you mentioned that you saw it. It was a TV movie, right? But I've never seen it.
They've made it back to the mainland, and for some reason they decide to go back to the island to see how much it has changed in 20 years or whatever. I can't really remember much about it, but it's these people and what happened to them after they left the island and came back to civilization. And it just shows them like 25 years later or 20 years later, however many years it is. And they plan on going back to that island. Now, why don't I remember anything else about it?
Wow, it looks like maybe there is one more thing. The Castaways on Gilligan's Island, a made-for-television comedy film that continues the adventures of the shipwrecked castaways from Gilligan's Island and the reunion movie, Rescue from Gilligan's Island. The Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island.
No,
what the hell is this? Then Gilligan's Planet. Okay, let's see. Okay, and then I think that's it. So, yeah, I guess, man, I spoke too soon. There's definitely more stuff, and I'm not watching it. I'm not watching the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island. I mean, I do love both things. Maybe it's great, but that's enough. Well, I guess I could tell you. Hold on, because the good old Wikipedia article. God bless Wikipedia. I actually, it's only like a couple dollars a month, but I do donate every month to Wikipedia because I use this website so much. Like, man, it's the best for just anything you might need to know. Actually, I don't know how good it is for like useful stuff, but for useless stuff like the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island, it's the best. So, okay. The former castaways own and operate a vacation resort called the Castaways, located on the formerly deserted island. This was introduced in the previous film, The Castaways on Gilligan's Island. Okay, so that's kind of clever. They started a resort. I guess, you know, because they probably would be celebrities once they got back to civilization. So why not? Why not take advantage of that, build a hotel there? Thurston Howell has some business on the mainland. His son, Thurston Howell IV, came to the island, runs the hotel business while his father is working. The Harlem Globetrotters, a traveling troupe of merry basketball players, are on a plane ride over the Pacific Ocean when it suffers engine trouble and is forced to make an emergency landing onto Gilligan's Island. So this just leads to them playing basketball against the Harlem Globetrotters. So I guess the Harlem Globetrotters, they did crash land, but they're not stranded. It just got them on the island. Okay, wait a second now. Now there's a conspiracy from a corporate raider to take over the hotel, so they got to play a game of basketball for it. But this guy, J.J. Pearson, is the corporate raider. He has robot players. The Globetrotters have no idea how to defeat a team of robots. The professor is also at a loss of how to defeat them, until Gilligan unknowingly remarks that the Globetrotters have not done any tricks, causing the professor to give a halftime pep talk. Oh, they didn't even think to do the one thing they're the most famous for, is to do basketball tricks. And then the basketball tricks freak out the robots, and they beat the robots. I mean, at this point, we're not even in the realm of Gilligan's Island anymore. You'll be happy to hear that the Harlem Globetrotters save the island, and the castaways continue to go on with managing the resort. Yeah, okay.
Anyway. Completely got away from the isolationism of that island. Oh, my God. Well, I won't be watching that.
Yeah, that's a great example. It is amazing, though, how these things happen that you just never hear about and you have no idea about. Because if somebody told me that, you know, that just sounds like a joke. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch, the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island. It doesn't sound like a real thing, but yet that was a real thing, all right. So, oh, and it looks like the ratings were not, they weren't the worst, but they weren't great. So his next planned TV movie was going to be called Murder on Gilligan's Island.
Oh, God. But God, he needed to give up. he sounds like he would have gone on forever with this kind of crap. What a way to ruin an original premise that was so successful.
It sounds a little bit like the guy who made Alf, how he, you know, was successful with that one thing and he just would never let it go. So at least in Sherwood Schwartz's case, at least it was a new spin on Gilligan's Island over and over and over and over. But yeah, yeah, he definitely knew Gilligan was his money melon. And they just ran it into the ground. So there we go. We've learned the disturbing depths of just how deep Gilligan goes. It really does. I really honestly thought we were done. I had no idea there was more. But yeah, especially if it's the Harlem Globetrotters playing robots. I can't imagine a day will come when we watch that. But it's out there, I guess, if anybody's curious. There's something you can track down.
Even when it got to going off to another planet, I thought, oh, that's too much. Just too much. This thing opening a resort on the island. Oh, come on. Give it a rest. I thought it ended with those people just going back to see what that island was like, whatever that show was. And I can't even remember how it ended.
Yeah, that Gilligan rabbit hole went deeper than I expected.
Yeah, we're practically down to the center of the earth with it. God, it's awful. And I'd like to remember Gilligan as Gilligan was originally in the original series, although the cartoon, I'll give it, the cartoon is not bad.